Once again, it is so good to be with you guys this morning. Like I said, for those of you who don't know, we're from Tracy, although we live in Lathrop, don't we, Matt? My daughter's in seventh grade now, can you believe it? Next year, she's going to be an eighth grader. She loves when I talk about her. Huh. Come on, and then my son Sam, he's going to be in fifth grade. Got it, babe. And it's pretty amazing. Things are happening. I'm sure your guys' families are growing. The people are getting older. It just happens. It's one of those things you cannot stop on. But we appreciate you guys, and we appreciate your prayers for our campus, because they are needed, and they are valued, and they are powerful. And we appreciate all that you guys do for our campuses. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm going to put this in my mouth. Will that help it better? Microphones. But anyways, I believe that God's been doing great things over in Tracy. I think our church is, it's growing. God is using our people. He is bringing visitors in through our doors. It's fun. Sometimes people just show up and they're like, we just saw you guys here and we wanted to come check it out. And we're like, okay, come on in. Sometimes they come back. Sometimes they don't. It depends on, I don't know. It depends on a lot of things, I'm sure. If I was nice to them or if I was not nice to them, those sort of things. But God is doing a work in our church, and he has grown it into the church he wants it to become. And folks, that's the goal for this campus and our campus over there. It's not to make it into something that I want or that we want, but it's to grow into what God wants us to become. It's an amazing journey. It's a lot of fun. Some days I'm scared to death of it. Other days I can't wait to be there because I'm so excited on what God's doing. But God is faithful. It's always been my desire that we would offer people and guide people to experience life to the full in Jesus Christ. And that's my desire for us this morning as we're together to understand more fully what life to the full means. To understand in a greater way. And it's been something that I've tried to understand all throughout my entire life. This life to the full. So anyways, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to look in John chapter 10 as we do that. I don't know if you guys have run John chapter 10. It's in the New Testament of the Bible. Can you hear me? Okay, it's driving me bonkers for some reason. Maybe. Okay. What is, yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good. Just taking a breath. As a young man at the age of 22 years old, okay, I remember it like the other day. I sat down and I read these words. You don't have to make me louder, Billy, just to make me. I read, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The version I read said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, as a young man at the age of 22, I thought it to mean so many different things. I had been married only a year. And so when I thought of life to the full, I thought, and surely life to the full must mean that I'm going to have a family, I'm going to have a car, and a home probably, a career, I'll probably have success and stability. That's what life to the full means for me. Now, I'm 40 years old. How's it going? Good to see you. I'm 40 years old now, and I wonder, has life to the full changed? Because I have a career now. I have a family, I have a car, I have a home, success and stability are in the eyes of the beholder, so I'll leave those off the list, as we always seem to think, have we ever arrived? I don't think we'll ever think that or have that take place. But what does life to the full at the age of 40 mean? Has it changed since I was 20? Will it change when I'm 60? When I'm 80 years old, will life to the full change? What will it be like then? I don't believe, after studying and after the years that have passed, that life to the full does change at all. I believe it means the same thing if you're a junior higher or a senior citizen. Life to the full, there's a consistent thing that takes place when we experience that life to the full. Let me share with you as a blanket statement to our time this morning and as we walk into John chapter 10, of what life to the full really means. And here's the statement. Hopefully you're encouraged by it. You may not be when you first hear it. Complete wholeness, complete fullness will never be found here on this planet. You may think. But it's reality. It's reality. Now, with that said, let me walk into what I believe life to the full means. Okay? We will have glimpses of it in this life, so don't be too down on yourself. Life to the full, first and foremost, means that we know God. We know God. John chapter 10, verses 2 to 5. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, any good student of the Word, when they read a verse, they'll try to read the entire context that that verse is found in, perhaps the whole chapter. They'll try to understand who is speaking. Who is the audience? What's the point of the passage? What's the point of the book? And so when we read John chapter 10, we understand that Jesus is the one who's speaking. And he's speaking to a certain audience, and that audience are the Jewish leaders of the day, who thought they knew God, but in fact, they only knew about God. Jesus says here, the sheep hear his voice. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They don't even listen to strangers' voices because they know his voice. They know the voice of God. They know the shepherd. In life, we're always going to be around people, folks. In churches, in groups, and on your streets, in your workplaces, in your classrooms. And we're going to be around many people. But we don't always know those people, do we? Like, I know my wife. I know her. She cannot even say anything, and she can just look at me. And by the way, she blinks. I know if she's excited or not excited. When you know someone, but you can be around folks and not understand anything about them. True fullness begins by knowing God and being known by Him. All things that are good, all things that are profitable, all things that are honorable and noble stem from knowing God. Do you know why the Garden of Eden was so perfect? The Garden of Eden, where God first placed the two first human beings, Adam and Eve. He placed them in the garden, and the beauty of the Garden of Eden was not in location. It was not in the supplies that they had. It was not in their mode of transportation. It wasn't in the clothes that they wore or the clothes they did not wear. The beauty of the Garden of Eden rested in who they talked with and walked with and communed with, and that was God. That's why the Garden of Eden was such a desirable place, because God was with them. And this is why fullness was severed when Adam and Eve sinned, and why they pursued other fullness other ways and began to sin. And that fullness that could only be found from God was hindered. So, of course, the charge I have for you guys in regards to this life to the full is to know God. That's a pretty big statement, huh? Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to know God. John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. When we know God, we understand that God did create us. We understand also that because of our sin, it's impossible to commune with God, because God is perfect. And being perfect, He can't be a part of something that's imperfect. But in His great love, He sent Jesus to this earth to live a perfect life and to die on a cross for your sins, for my sins, so that all who believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life and experience fullness in knowing God. And so first, the charge is to know Him, to know Him personally. And you can know Him, because that's what Jesus says. Notice that Jesus doesn't say in verse 9, people of great standing. or those who have it all together, or those who have never done anything too bad. He says, anyone who knows me, anyone who enters by the gate, who is Jesus Christ, can understand, can know the love of God. But understand that knowing God does not just mean attending church every week or being in a life group. Although those are crucial to our life, folks, don't miss that. It means you know God personally. You are with Him. You desire to be with Him. You long for Him. Like that one song goes, this is the air I breathe. He is the air we breathe. We desire to be with Him so much. Now, Jesus used sheep to illustrate this point because that was a common occupation in those days. I don't have sheep, nor do I think many of you have sheep. We don't see people driving their sheep down the roads anymore. Maybe at your place, Chuck, you guys have out there at your work, maybe? No? Okay. I have a dog, though. You have dogs. And so he'll serve as the same type of illustration. My dog is completely dependent upon me. He is. My wife drives my wife crazy, but I feed my dog, or I have my kids feed my dog. I give my dog water. He's got a doggy bed he lays on. When I leave the house, he's so sad. He is ruined. And he looks at me, do I gotta go out? And he starts shaking up. When I come home, he's overjoyed. Dad. Like I've never seen him. He's so excited. He's completely dependent upon me. Folks, this is how we are to view our relationship with the Lord. We are so wrapped up, dependent upon Him. Do you know God that way? Or do you simply know God? You're like, yeah, I know God. I heard of Him. Far be it from us, folks, if our relationship with God is only happening today. If this is the most you hear about the Lord, something's wrong. You need to pursue Him. Read the Bible. The Bible's not just some book that people read a long time ago. Folks, it's living and active. Hebrews 4:12, right? God's Word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to penetrate joints and marrow. Timothy says, all Scripture is useful, breathed out by God. Folks, this is a love letter that God has given to us. It speaks in harmony from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It points to Jesus. It's not just this thing pick up every now and then, and that you find life. And it's not a legalistic statement for you to say that you need to read your Bibles. Because in it you find out not just information, you find out about the author who wrote it. Know God. Pray. Talk with Him. Listen to Him. Talk back. Don't just go to God and just give Him your laundry list and be like, I need all these things to take place by 5 o'clock today, and if they don't take place, then I'm going to be upset and you'll receive an email. It's like, come on. Commune with Him. Talk with Him. Know God. That's where life to the full begins. And that's where the rest of life to the full stems from knowing God and being known by Him. Secondly, life to the full means this. It means you have eternal life. John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You guys ever want something in life? Sometimes. Last hour, no one raised their hand, so they were all losers, I guess. And apparently the same, you guys have never won anything either. That's all right. You must be A's fans. That's terrible! Did that come out of my mouth, Renee? I meant Cowboys fans is what I really meant. No. When you win something, it's kind of exciting, right? You get a one, and you get a little giddy. Sometimes people's hands shake. Oh, I won. And some people start crying. They get so, oh, I won. Some people jump off their couches when their sports teams win. What takes place when you know that you have eternal life? Do you get excited? Or is it like you just won the consolation prize at your job that afternoon at the little party you had. You know those prizes that you get that you usually leave there at the party, and you think about it when you're driving home and you're like, I don't want it anyway, so I'm not going to turn around. How do you view eternal life? You have eternal life. You will not perish. You will be with God forever. That's eternal life. Why don't we get giddy when we think about eternal life? Why doesn't it excite us? Why doesn't it make us long to be with Him? Because I think often we don't understand the holiness, the beauty, and the majesty of God. Later on in John chapter 17, before Jesus is arrested and crucified for our sins, He prays. And in His prayer, He says in verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's eternal life, folks. Eternal life, by definition, is knowing God and knowing Jesus. It's great because of God. It's great because of Jesus. Why is that important? I believe it's important because we don't live in fear of what's going to come next. We don't. Yes, we may have fear of how we might die, or fear of the uncertainty of life and the circumstances that are thrown at us, but we don't fear our ultimate destination of, I'll be in eternity with God. And I don't even care what I do in eternity, because God's going to be there. And I don't know about you, but everything good in this life that I have experienced, truly good, is because God has been involved. Folks, He is the greatest thing that we can experience in this life. He is the pinnacle of all things good. And He is also the antithesis of every negative thing, person, experience, addiction that I have had in this life. He is a good, good God. And eternity is great because He is there. Light to the full means we know God and we also have eternal life. But don't think that God's not concerned about your everyday of living, right? Because we think, well, Ben, those are high and lofty things. Eternity. Holy Almighty God. But what about now? He is concerned about you now. He is. I believe light to the full means that we have provision and contentment in life. John chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And here it is again. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. When we know God and understand that we have eternal life, we find provision and contentment here. When we stray from God, or when we reject God, we find the opposites. We find discontent. We find entitlement. We find restlessness. And our flesh latches on to those things. And we need to be reminded by His Word and by other people that we find provision. We have provision and have contentment in God. When God's not enough for us, and when our flesh wages war in our minds, we deserve this or that we need that, we are trying to push a square peg into a round hole. Remember that game when you guys were kids? You'd have that sphere with all the different shapes on it and you have to push them in there. And we can never get the square to go into the circle. Until we found the pocket knife, right? And then as kids, we totally, you know, took off all the edges so it could slide in there anytime we wanted. And it was totally distorted the rest of the time we had that toy. But it's a perfect picture of our life. When we try to push something else into our heart that only God can fill, it distorts us. It does. And our life is hindered from experiencing what it's truly supposed to experience, and that's a God who loves us, a God who created you. You see it in this world all the time. We are to respond to God. That's how God built us. I love how Jesus says, You go in and out and find pasture. Because it speaks of this great thought that I love. Some people like it, some people don't. So if you don't like it, then you don't have the microphone. But it's this delicate balance, this in and out of divine leadership from God and personal conviction from us as human beings. God has not created us to be robots. God uses us. And so you have this divine involvement and this personal conviction from us, and it's where we find this provision and this contentment. We give it everything we got this life. We work our tails off and allow God to provide true provision and contentment. We'll not all be CEOs in life, folks. We're not all going to be the boss. We're not all going to be equal in wealth and prosperity as defined by the world. But the biblical principle is to work hard at whatever station of life God has you in. To work hard and leave the results up to God. If God allows you to have a lot, then great. If God doesn't allow you to have a lot, then that's great too. And there's probably good reason why. Because He knows your heart. And He knows my heart. And He knows how much I can have and how much is going to wreck me or how much is not going to wreck me. I think David talks about that in the book of Proverbs. It's a lie of the evil one to say that what one person has belongs to me, or at least a portion of it. It does not. It makes no difference how a person received it. Our job, folks, is to work hard. If you are able, then you must. God provides pasture for us. He does. He provides pasture for us to go in and out, to understand, to commune with Him. But God does not say, come into my pasture, kick your feet up, and sit down and do nothing the rest of your days. Matter of fact, I think Jesus said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. That's what God desires of us. It's a delicate blend of divine involvement and personal conviction. I could spend more time on that, but let's move on to number four. Light to the full also means we have community. John chapter 10, verses 14 to 16. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of the fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. You guys okay right now? You guys need to stand up? This is a pretty important point. Okay? One of the greatest things that we get to experience in this life is this. The community. The church. The church. The bride of Christ. The holy set apart church. When you understand that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you experience community. This is one of the most crazy places that I've ever experienced in my life. You will never find such a diverse group of people as you will in a church. It's made up of people who understand or are understanding who God is and why and how God created us. It's made up of a group of people who understand that Jesus is the Savior of their life and He's also the Lord of our life, even though we are trying to learn that Lord and Savior process. It's made up of people who are not yet sold on the idea of God at times. And they're asking God to show them the reality of who He is. It's made up of people's lives that are stained by grace. It's a pretty extraordinary place, folks. One author calls it a Sunday asylum, which is totally appropriate, right? People receive asylum from certain things. And the Bible talks about how we're strangers in this world. As aliens, we are set apart in this world, and we are a Sunday asylum. It's an amazing, wild, crazy journey. This life of Christianity, of understanding who God is, understanding fullness in Christ. But folks, it is a blessed journey, and we get to experience it with one another. This is not just some country club or retirement home. It's not for the weak either. It's not. The church is a place where you get all kinds of folks. Some people you like, and some people you don't like, and some people you can't wait to see, and some people you wish you wouldn't see. But at the same time, the one thing we have in common is that Jesus died for our sins. And each person needs the other. You are needed in this place. You are a valuable part in this world. The church really is the hope of the world at times. God designed it that way. He designed it to shine forth the light that is in our hearts, the treasure that is in these jars of clay. And the world watches intently. And while the world may betray, attack the church, it will watch. It will watch to see if, in fact, the one that they worship is real. And folks, He is real. He is the pinnacle, as I said, of this life to the full. He is the pinnacle of everything of us. We were created to know Him. Even those who reject Him were created to know God. And that is why it is like we are chasing our tails around until we give our life to the Lord. It's why we never truly experience a fullness where we really have provision and contentment. It's why there is a restlessness about us. Because sometimes we wander from the things of the Lord. But God provides true contentment and provision. And why you could fill it with anything you want. It is only God who is going to satisfy, folks. It is only Him. Light to the full for me when I was 20 was the same thing as it is now. And I think it's going to be the same thing as I get older. It's knowing God first and foremost, and from that flows eternal life, provision and contentment, and it's also community. I get to be a part of the church. You are a part of the church, the bride of Christ. Pretty amazing. So the challenge this morning I have for you is to know God, to know Him, to read about Him, to study Him, to be involved with the community, the church. While I said it's not just going to church that means you know God, it's a huge part of it. You guys heard this last week of all the different ways that God's at work. That's important because it shows that God is working. You know what's amazing? I got time for this. You guys got nowhere else to go today. What's amazing, and I'll be done after this. What's amazing about God is the one common factor, whether it be on a different continent, whether it be in a different time frame of life, whether it be in a different language, whether it be in a different anywhere, the one constant is that people's lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. Folks, from the time Jesus walked this planet until now, the one constant in those extraordinary life change moments that took place, it's Jesus. God is real. He is. He sent Jesus to die for us. And the fact that Jesus died on the cross is the one event that transforms all of humanity. Because if indeed Jesus did die on the cross and then raised from the dead, that means there was a purpose for it. And that purpose was to give life, to give life in its fullness. And if there was a purpose for His death and resurrection, then that means there is someone orchestrating everything that's taking place. And that someone is God. And He loves you. He loves you. And He desires you. He wants you to experience Him in all of His fullness. Anyways, I can go on and on. Let me pray. Jesus, thank You. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for this church. I pray for our Lathrop campus. It is good to be with them. They are a great group of people. And this church is always home. But Lord, we are here at the same time longing for our eternal home. And although that longing sometimes is skewed because we have our concerns of life that so envelop us some days, I pray every day we would understand more and more the truth and reality of eternity that only takes place by knowing You. Protect these people, protect their hearts, protect our lives. Watch over those even at our Tracy campus this morning. Continue to grow us into the church that You want us to become. We love You, Jesus, and we thank You for loving us first.
Amen.